For those of you who are watching online, this will also be archived. This will be on our website. And my time will begin now. You know, today we come because Pat believes that being gay or lesbian and being in a same-gender marriage is sinful. And I come because I believe Pat is teaching and is approaching blasphemy of the Holy Ghost because of his false teaching. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and 15th verse, says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth." Or as the King James Version would say, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today we come to rightly divide the word of truth, not pick and choose verses that were not created as verses until the 15th century, or chapters that were not created until the 12th century. Sometimes we forget that the Bible was written longhand in paragraph form as books and as letters. We seem to think that parts don't connect to one another when God obviously is a God of order, and to act like he hasn't had a whole plan laying out means that we believe he is not a God of order, and thus are not teaching the correct character of God. Patrick will claim today that the Bible allows only one type of marriage, a man and a woman, based off of Genesis, the 2nd chapter. He forgets that a man and a woman were, that Eve was created because Adam was lonely, not because he needed someone to have sex with. Was that a side option? Absolutely. However, God did not create Eve because he needed someone to have sex with or to procreate with. He created Eve because Adam was lonely. By the way, marriage has changed in its definition. If it had not changed, every man who has a wife would be buying your wife for 3 goats and a cow. Or if she's exceptionally good, 3 cows and a goat. Too many times we forget that the Bible is very different than our society. And in fact, the Bible allows other types of marriages. Exodus, the 21st chapter and 10th verse, says, "If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish." In other words, if you marry more than one woman, ladies, I want you to hear this very clearly. It's saying your husband can have more than one wife, and you have no choice about it. That is the word of God, not made up. Secondly, it has implications for those of us when we're not even looking to get married. And I'm going to use the Message version here. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the marriage price, he must buy her, in other words, and marry her. Men, if you had sex with anyone before your wife, you are not married to the person you were supposed to be married to. Moving on, could marriage also be a man and a woman and her property? Genesis, the 16th chapter, points that out very clearly, because that's the way that marriage was functioning in the 16th chapter. Obviously, God has already said you could have more than one wife in Exodus, the 21st chapter, right? Could it also be a man and his brother's widow, a Levite marriage, as in Genesis, the 38th chapter? In fact, the sin of Onan was the fact that he refused to produce heirs for his brother. He wanted them to have his name, not his brother's name. Moving on, it could be a male slave and a female slave. A slave owner in Exodus 21 could also assign a female slave to any male slave he wanted to, and he could change her husband over and over again, and she had no power, no authority to stop that, and God honored the new marriage as much as he honored the first marriage. Could it also be a man and many wives? Polygamy, if you would. Now, I understand none of us in this room are fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. However, the reality is that Solomon had 700 wives. He probably needed to pray for wisdom, not so much to rule Israel as to deal with 700 father-in-laws. The reality is that we do not honor God's word for what it is. We pervert it, we change it, and we falsely teach it too often in the churches that do not see God doing other things. Another option is a man, a wife, his wives, and his concubines. Solomon, again, obviously needed a lot of women to sleep with. He had 1,000 of them. I want you to understand that he couldn't sleep with all of them if he slept with just one of them in a year. It took almost 3 years for him to be able to sleep through all of his wives and concubines. Moving on, could it be a male soldier and a virgin prisoner of war? Numbers, the 31st chapter, and Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. Under Moses' command, the Israelites killed every Midianite man, woman, and child except for the virgin girls who are taken as spoils of war and are used as the wives of the warriors that went into war against Midian with him. Could it also be a rapist and his victim? Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter and 28th verse. If we're going to demand biblical marriage, I demand that if you are raped, you must marry your rapist. Now, do I really believe that? No, because it is violence to the woman. But too many times we want to say biblical marriage is this, when it's actually a lot broader than that. Because we have lied about the Word of God. And to present it as anything other than what shows up in the Word of God is to defame the Holy Spirit and is also false teaching. So what is a biblical marriage? There's some examples, not a definition. Moving on. I'm going to address his points about being gay or lesbian in a little bit, but right now I want to look at some more of this marriage. In the New Testament, it really doesn't change anything. There are limits only for some in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and 2nd verse. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. A bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife. It didn't say that the other church members couldn't have more than one wife. It said the bishop can't. Moving on. In the third chapter and 12th verse, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house well. You know, the interesting thing about this is that you do not see in the New Testament that a person has to have one wife other than leadership of the church. By the way, this church believes in monogamous couples and we support them. That doesn't mean that we believe everything is go willy-nilly. There are cultural concepts that are important. And quite frankly, I don't know anyone who can take care of more than one person. Moving on to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and 2nd verse. The married are married to prevent sexual sin, but does not say how many you can marry. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. It doesn't say that the man has to have only one wife. It only says that he has to have one if he can't keep his pants zipped. Amen? Genesis, the 19th chapter, the Sodom and Gomorrah story. I love it. Because we ignore the facts of the story every time when we read it. It's all about sodomites. Really? Do you even know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Did you bother to read the rest of the Bible? If you read the rest of the Bible, you would understand what really happened. God had already decided in the 18th chapter and 20th and 21st verses, God continued, the cries of the victims of Sodom and Gomorrah are deafening. The sin of those cities is immense. I'm going down to see for myself. See if they're doing as badly as it sounds, then I'll know. God is saying this to Abraham before the angels ever arrive. Why is it we always forget that part of the story when we're saying Sodomites shall never inherit the kingdom of God and point to Sodom and Gomorrah? The reason is because we don't want to do the biblical study that is required rather than being accurate. So what happens in the story? The angels go down, they are waiting in the town square, and then Lot says, come to my house, I'll feed you, I'll take care of you. Stay, hang out, we'll have a slumber party, and all of that stuff. And the men of Sodom come, all of the men, the story says, all of the men, young and old, come to Lot's door and press against it and say, Bring them out that we may know them. Now, there are some very logical things I need to ask first. How many of y'all know of any city where every person in the town, every man, is a gay man? It is not Gay Pride Day at Sodom and Gomorrah. We have for too long acted like these are all gay people that are there. There is no way. They would have never had children. The city would have refused to procreate, if you would. The problem we have here is the fact that we aren't understanding what's really happening. The other part is that, one, rape is what was actually going to happen. Secondly, nothing happened. Nobody had sex with anybody. Nobody raped anybody. And to say that anyone did defames the Word of God and lies on the Bible. Punishment only comes for what you do, not what you think or what you say you will do or what you threaten to do. Nowhere in the Bible does God punish a person for thinking they may not do what he says, other than unless it's a defaming spirit in them. He punishes them for what they don't do, or if he told them to do something or not to do something, he punishes them for what they did, or if he told them not to do something, and or, in other words, directly disobeying God by action. To say Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed because of homosexuality says that the Bible lies and is a false teaching. Hence, by definition, heresy. Because this is what it really says. Ezekiel, the 16th chapter and 49th verse, says, "This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter and 13th and 14th verse, "In the prophets of Samaria I saw a disgusting thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a more shocking thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from wickedness. All of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah." And Jesus says in the Matthew, the 10th chapter, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." Today, my point is to help Patrick understand that his false teaching directly is an abhorrent to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father Almighty. Today, to say that Sodom and Gomorrah is about homosexuality requires a person to ignore what the Bible actually says in the story, hence leading to false teaching by intentionally mischaracterizing what is being said. Secondly, it requires a person to add something to the story, hence leading to false teaching by bearing false witness against God. Thirdly, requires a person to ignore what the Bible tells us in other areas about Sodom and Gomorrah, hence leading to false teaching on the veracity of the Bible. And fourthly, requires a person to change the plain intent of God in the story, hence leading to false teaching on the character of God. Today, I am here to tell you, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah has been misrepresented intentionally and willfully by those individuals who say it's about being gay or lesbian. Nowhere in the Bible is that affirmed. The only thing that is affirmed is that they abused and treated people poorly. Today, my hope and my prayer for you is that you understand that the greatest of sins is to falsely teach what the Word of God does not say as if it is the Word of God. Today, my goal is for Patrick to repent of his sin. For each person who teaches that being gay or lesbian is a sin would repent of their sin and their false teaching. Because if you do not, you will eventually be responsible to the Holy Spirit because you have committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit because you have refused to listen to the plain teaching of the Word of God. And because you have refused to listen to the plain move of the Holy Spirit. because you have refused to understand the power of what God can do in a person's life. To say that a marriage is only between one man and one woman ignores completely the Word of God and buys into your own prejudices and causes you to act as if you are God and thus become the ultimate and blasphemers against God.